You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Row, row, row your hook, gently cross the stream. Merrily, 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 yeah! A snake! No, I hate snakes! No, that's somebody else. I sort of like snakes.
Welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for Too Much of a Gold Thing, part 5 of Treasure of the Golden Suns, the original DuckTales series premiere. I am one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I am your other host, Michael Cohen.
And this is it. This is part 5, the final part.
We made it.
Yeah, we squeezed it in before these new episodes began.
We squeezed 5 episodes into 4 weeks, which is pretty good. But all of these episodes aired at once, so you could almost say we're behind.
I guess so, yeah.
Because we should have just done it all as one episode. But but that's all good. We wanted to ferry people through... up until the regular episodes of the new DuckTales series started airing, and we managed to do just that. As we're recording this the night before on the 22nd, so new episodes will start airing. Actually, I think like maybe even tomorrow morning. I don't know what time the first airs the first time, because Disney XD is doing some weird stuff, some weird stuff.
I think they air back to back several times throughout the day, the two new episodes.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it.
I can't wait. I'm a liar on the last episode. I said that I wasn't going to watch any clips, but then, Curtis, you posted the gyro clip on our Facebook page today, and, facebook.com/tuneafternoon. And I couldn't help myself. I had to watch it, especially after our conversation last week. Earlier this week. It's been a long week for me. I've been working late every day. We're working 12-hour days, Monday through Thursday. So it feels like it's been about 2 weeks since we last recorded, when it's only been, 4 days?
Crazy, I would love to hear your take on this new gyro, but I think we should probably leave that conversation for that episode.
Absolutely. We'll be talking about that on our next episode for sure. But
There's also a new clip that I saw yesterday, I think it was, for the other new episode that's airing tomorrow. And it's the introduction to Ma Beagle as she comes to the place where her boys, the Beagle Boys, have kidnapped Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Webby. And it's a pretty funny clip too. So it looks like, we're going to get some good Beagle Boy action, which the characters look a little different, but they actually are, they seem fairly faithful to the original show. So we'll see how that goes as well.
Could you recognize voices? Do we know who's voicing the Beagle Boys this time around?
Looks like they're just going with, is not a celebrity, but a voice actor, Eric Bauza.
Oh, okay.
It's voicing all of the Beagle Boys, apparently, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Interesting. Because the design is very different, because they're kind of bruisers. Do they all look the same, or?
No, they have individual looks. Yep. I think we only hear one of them talk, though, so I don't know what the others sound like, but we'll find that out.
Interesting. So Eric Bauza, I knew that name from somewhere. He's Luke Skywalker on the Lego Star Wars The Freemaker Adventures.
Yeah.
Which means that I bet if I go back to somewhere else that Luke Skywalker was voiced. Oh, he's also the voice of Tiger Claw and Hun on the new Ninja Turtles series. Which is wrapping up soon, I believe. But he's
quite accomplished. He's been in everything from Batman to SpongeBob.
I knew his name. Like you said his name, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
For him to do Luke Skywalker, that's a pretty big. Oh, and he's Chairman Drek in the newer Ratchet and Clank game, but he's actually doing a sound alike in that one of Paul Giamatti, I think.
Oh, okay. And he's Amadeus Cho in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Nice.
He's got some voices in Gravity Falls, and he's all over the place.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. He was Luke Skywalker in Lego Star Wars Droid Tales as well. So I'm guessing that he's probably one of the go-to guys for Lucasfilm to do a Luke Skywalker sound alike, because he actually does a really great job.
Oh, good.
He's actually pretty solid. I like his performance on Freemaker Adventures. Hopefully, if we get a season 3 of Freemaker Adventures, this is a minor plug for the Rebels podcast, that Luke will be a main character. Because he's come in a couple times, but it would be cool if he was a regular character. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that if you watch that show. Let's talk about some DuckTales. Let's talk about classic DuckTales.
Sure. Yeah. This episode is called Too Much of a Gold Thing. Here's the episode description. Having completed the map, McDuck and company finally fly to the Valley of the Golden Suns. From outside, they are stalked by El Capitan, and from inside, they are threatened by Scrooge's increasing greed, which leads him to recklessly risk all of their lives against the Valley's booby traps. Air date again is September 18th, 1987. Director Alan Zaslav, with writers Jim Magan, Bruce Talkington, and Mark Zaslav.
Yeah. Like we expected, or not necessarily expected, because we already kind of knew. All of this is revisiting more recently for Curtis than myself, but definitely every episode brings back memories. But as we were kind of discussing in previous episodes, everything's coming to a head in this one, and as such, the action is amped up.
Is it ever? It's nonstop in this one.
Yeah, and the animation in this episode is astounding. It is so good, especially for the time, especially considering everything else that was on, which we've talked about before, because in 1987, when you compare this show to things like He-Man and sort of Filmation era of cartoons throughout the early to mid 80s, like sort of in that 84 to 87 really. DuckTales, I think, is one of the cartoons that turned that around and made everybody go, oh, we actually need to kind of step our game up. Because this episode, some of that animation is better than what we see in films today. Because I feel like, especially if they're going for a traditionally animated look, because nobody really traditionally animates anymore, that they cut a lot of corners using computers. There's reasons for that. Obviously, it's more cost effective. It takes less people to do, and you can produce stuff faster. But you lose the magic of a sequence like the end of this episode. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But even like right at the beginning the crocodiles, the giant gold coins, like everything throughout this episode is just DuckTales at some of its best, I think. This is a standout episode for me.
Yeah, they really put it all in there, all out there, and that's one of my top three moments, which I'll touch on in a little while as well.
Yeah.
But why don't you go first with your first moment?
Sure. Yeah. My first top three moment for this episode happens right near the beginning, and it's when Launchpad says, "This is such a great Launchpadism. When the going gets tough, the harder they fall."
Yeah.
Which is I more than just a mixed metaphor. It's actually mixing two metaphors together, two existing well-known metaphors. I love it because it's that awesome aspect of Launchpad that I think they have captured so well in the new series as well, and even like amped it up a significant amount. But maybe not that significant because Launchpad's pretty goofy in the original series as well, but just that sort of, he's just that lovable doofus, you know. He's really got that charm where even when he's saying something wrong, saying something stupid, or just being obnoxious, he crashes the plane so often, and yet we still love him for it. This moment is just one of those moments.
One of my favorite moments here is Launchpad as well, in the waterfall scene, because it also shows that he's also a quick thinker and knows mm-hmm. how to do his job, because they've crashed in this river that's going to go over a raging waterfall, and his solution is to open the bay doors to let the water in to sink the ship to sink the plane so it won't go over the waterfall. It's like, that is actually a brilliant move.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And that moment when it does wedge itself in just over the edge of the waterfall, and the water is running straight through the cargo plane and out the front and sort of adding to the waterfall. There's just so many great little touches to that animation, little choices that were made to sell that moment that really make that just such a great DuckTales, like, to a T moment. And it's that sort of stuff that I think that they've really borrowed from in the new series, that when you look at sort of what's going on in the background, sort of the incidental stuff, you're getting that same sort of thing. It reminds me of in the second half of the premiere when they go down in the sub, and obviously, like, because I think it's Louie or something that says, "Dive, dive." And so Launchpad dives. And Scrooge is like, "Nope, don't dive. The hatch, the hatch." And he's closing the hatch as they're diving.
Yeah.
And then in the next frame, like in the next scene, as they cut to the inside of the submarine, not only is there water pouring in from up top, And Scrooge has to like close the thing and seal it up, and then the water stops flowing, but then they also have to like use the bilge pumps to get the water out, and that's all happening like sort of incidentally, right? And those are the sorts of things that you look at and you go, like, that's the Disney part of this. That you know, as much as I love things like the newer Ninja Turtles series or Adventure Time, There are shows like the new DuckTales, Gravity Falls, stuff like that, that Lego Star Wars, the Freemaker Adventures, even the new Spider-Man series, the new Marvel Spider-Man. The incidental stuff is that Disney magic, you know what I mean? Like that's sort of them going the extra mile to make sure that their product is that great. And it really starts with DuckTales. So
yeah. Well, and it costs money to add those little things in.
Absolutely, yeah.
When they could easily just leave them out.
Yeah. So my second favorite moment from this episode is when Scrooge pulls out that giant Bowie knife on the when they're on the boat. So they're surrounded by the crocodiles and it's like, I don't know how we're gonna get out of this. We're running out of oars. And Scrooge just pulls out this giant, sharp, dangerous-looking knife, and starts moving towards Beakley with it.
And well, they kind she's sort of spoken out of turn just before this.
Yeah, and they sort of play it out as like he's about to do something to her.
And she reacts.
And she reacts, yeah. And what he's really doing is he's gonna jam it into the back of the boat. Because it's an inflatable raft. And you know, in cartoon fashion, use it to skid across the water to safety. Yeah. Which a pro tip. Don't ever try that. If you just stab a knife into an inflatable boat, to an inflatable raft, that raft will just deflate and you'll just be in the water. It will not shoot across the water. There's not quite that much pressure. But the thing that really stuck out about this and the reason why I call it out is because 1987 is right on the cusp of concerned parents making changes to media. and shutting stuff down, and nowadays I just don't know that you could have Scrooge McDuck, beloved Disney character, wielding a very real, very dangerous looking weapon like that. He might grab a sword and have a sword fight with a zombie pirate, skeleton pirate, or something like that. But I really don't think that they would play him off the way that they did in this moment. It is definitely a sign of the times, and it's definitely like it's right on the cusp of when that sort of thing was acceptable. So, I thought that was so. It was just I'm going through the episode. It's perfect Disney cartoon magic the whole way through, and then we get this one moment where Scrooge McDuck pulls out a scary, scary looking knife and menacingly moves towards Beakley with it. And you're just like, what the heck? I just thought that was such a great moment that we're not going to see a heck of a lot of. It's very out of place in DuckTales, in my opinion.
Well, there are a couple other things that you wouldn't see today. Others like the El Capitan's shotgun. You don't see real looking guns in cartoons these days. They all have to kind of look like laser guns or, you know, something like that. And just the peril that the children are in, especially Webby, you wouldn't see that sort of peril as well, which I think is another one of the reasons maybe that they've aged up Webby, so that they can place her in some more danger and that kind of thing. But yeah, those are all things that the censor board usually tries to take out.
Cool. What's your next favorite moment?
Well, I really liked the whole gold fever, sickness that Scrooge was suffering through this episode, and how it got progressively worse and worse to the point where he's like rolling around like a cat on the ground at one point. It was just really funny. I like how they build it. And the strange thing, though, is that he never suffers from gold fever in the series ever again. It's like I'm reminded of in Rescue Rangers, Monterey Jack, whenever he's near cheese, he gets this kind of cheese fever and his mustache twirls and his eyes go swirly and he kind of has to go eat his cheese. And he suffers from that like in every episode. But Scrooge, this is the only time gold fever ever hits him.
Yeah, surprisingly. You'd think he would suffer from it more often.
All the time.
Yeah, he must not have gotten his gold fever shot. His gold flu shot.
Yep. Or he's never been on the track of this much gold before. Maybe it's the sheer amount of gold that was nearby, because that was an awful lot of gold.
Yes, it was a lot of gold. For sure.
I know your final moment is the same as my final moment. And it's just it ramped so high at the very end of this episode. And for me, the best part was watching the animation, like you've mentioned before. Now, there's one scene where El Capitan has captured all of the crew and he's placed them in a cauldron and is lowering them down into this molten gold river.
Yeah.
And Scrooge, in his gold feverish state, looks over the edge and says, "Gold, I see a river of gold," or whatever he says. And then he kind of leaps up and swings the whole cauldron around.
Yeah.
And just that one little bit of animation there is just absolutely stunning, when he's he's using his own momentum to spin the thing, and everybody has their own reaction to the force that they're being pulled and stuff like that. It's just it's complex, and it's really, really great. And it was just there for like 2 seconds and then it's gone. But then the rest of it, when the tower sinks into the ground and all of the bricks are falling and just everything's going crazy. Holy cow, that was just, what a way to end these 5 episodes.
Yeah. Well, not just the cell animation, but also the beautifully painted backgrounds and the art direction in this episode is just so, so spot on. It has all of the hallmarks of a great, adventure pulp action piece.
Yeah.
Right. It's in the jungle. There's a temple of some kind and all the gold and all the mystery and, the tower that they end up going into, and it's all covered in vines, and the moment towards the end where it shines and all of the beams of light are hitting it, and there's just so much great cinematic level art direction and cinematography, which isn't a word that you get to use a lot with a Disney afternoon cartoon, at least not until we get to Gargoyles, because Gargoyles has some great cinematic moments as well. But
and none of the other shows are as cinematic. I think you get a little bit of that with Tailspin as well, but
it has a few moments. I can think of like there's a few moments where they're like flying through a thunderstorm or stuff like that, or great action flying sequences.
But the other ones are more just juvenile in their tone and or comedy or something like that. So you don't get the same sort of stuff.
I actually just recently, a couple of years ago, this is probably quite a while ago now, because it was when Disney XD first made its way up to Canada. I watched through all of Gargoyles as it aired on Disney XD. I was just recording it on my PVR and then watching 2 or 3 episodes at a time. So I have very recently watched through that entire series. And Gargoyles is as good as I remember it being. And especially the Goliath Chronicles, the last 2 seasons, are just so good. So incredible. All of the Shakespeare stuff and that. We're definitely going to get into that. We are going to cover Gargoyles at some point, because there's a lot of meat to talk about in those shows. But
I never even saw the last season of that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh man, it gets so good, and the time travel, and just it gets very, very complicated fantasy sci-fi towards the end of that series, and it just gets fantastic.
Because they figured out their fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But Darkwing is one of those ones where it's like, I could take or leave the show itself, but I love the character. And I love that world. But DuckTales, it's like an episode like this just reminds me how great DuckTales is. Because DuckTales got an actual theatrical movie, right?
Yes. Like, yes.
Darkwing Duck never got a theatrical movie. And that's kind of a shame, but it also makes sense, you know? I don't know. I'm really waiting to see how they reinterpret that character for the new DuckTales series and what they're going to do with him, because they've obviously been taking a lot of liberties with a lot of the characters in DuckTales.
Hopefully we won't have to wait long to find that out.
Hopefully we don't have to wait too long. Hopefully that episode's coming up soon. I think that Darkwing could learn a few lessons from DuckTales for sure. And amp up that cinematic quality and that sort of thing.
I think the thing they'll have going for it is they don't have to rely on it being a spoof anymore. Because people will take an actual superhero show, even if it's starring a duck, seriously. That's the superhero age that we live in now.
Yeah, I do think that, in this day and age, they'll be able to do it on the level that they're not going to do it in the same way that they're going to do their Marvel shows, or the Star Wars shows, to be able to add a little bit of that flair, a little bit of that level of storytelling to it, I think will benefit that so much. But
it's the same. I made this comparison before. It's like if you ever saw Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc., yeah. That iteration of Scooby-Doo is like fantastic. It took all of the things we love about old Scooby-Doo, but added this huge mythology and season-long arcs, and it was just fantastic. They could do the same thing with Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I don't know how I managed to derail the episode into a conversation about Darkwing Duck, but I did it. You guys can go ahead and chalk that up and start keeping score, because it's probably going to happen a lot. Cool. Well, let's jump into the behind the scenes. There is a scene in this episode that points to a very big inspiration for the tone and especially the pacing, I think, of DuckTales, especially yeah. in an episode like this one. And that's the moment when Launchpad's trying to get the plane ready to go again. He's trying to fix it up and get them. Get it ready so that he can swoop in and save the day when he gets the flare. And he gets attacked by an anaconda, by a giant snake. And he says the words, "Snakes? I hate snakes." And then he pauses for a second. He goes, "Oh, wait, that's the other guy."
Other guy, Mike?
Yeah, that is an obvious reference to Indiana Jones, which is a very, very big inspiration on DuckTales.
Yes. Well, and I think Launchpad himself is sort of a take on Indy. Because Indy is kind of a, you know, he's smart and stuff, but he always is kind of like a bumbler at the same time, gets himself into messes and such, just like Launchpad does. But Launchpad's kind of the action hero of the group, like Indy is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned in the last episode, like, the music draws from Indiana Jones, and like the logo itself, the DuckTales logo, is obviously taken from Indiana Jones. There is so much influence, and Indy was huge when this show came out, because the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Well,
this is 2-3 years before The Last Crusade, right? So we're right kind of in the middle in between, because Raiders is 1981. Right? And then I can never remember when Temple came out.
Wasn't that like 84?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think like the year after Return of the Jedi. And then it was a long wait in between Temple of Doom and The Last Crusade. And I think it's because, like, I think one of the reasons why The Last Crusade got made is probably because of DuckTales, because I think that DuckTales kept that sort of vibe alive. That formula of MacGuffin, research, one adventure sort of leading you to a clue towards the next adventure, leading you towards a clue for the next adventure. Ultimately to the MacGuffin itself in this instance, in this episode, the treasure of the Golden Sun. That's Indiana Jones beat for beat. That is the scenario, the template, the formula that George Lucas built with Indiana Jones that a lot of movies now use. It's like there are kind of two types of adventure movies, and one is Star Wars and the other one's Indiana Jones. And then you can just see it kind of laid over all of these other types of movies. More Star Wars than Indiana Jones, but every once in a while, like a National Treasure comes along, something like that, that is very much just an Indiana Jones movie.
Or like The Mummy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Totally.
Yeah. So yeah. For sure. DuckTales is not immune to that. In fact, they kind of lean into it pretty heavily. And in this episode, they actually straight up acknowledge it. Cool. Well, I think that's it for our review of this episode. But we've got a review for one of our junior podcasters.
Yep. Let's hear from Peter.
Mm-hmm. Hello, this is me, Peter, and this is my special guest, my dad.
Hi.
His actual name's Curtis.
That's right.
He's just my dad.
And we just got back from the Lego Ninjago movie, didn't we?
Yep. But we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about something else.
But we're so excited that we are playing with some brand new Lego Ninjago Lego. You can hear some of this noise. We're building the set as we're talking about this episode of DuckTales, so we might be a little bit distracted today. So, what was this episode about, Peter?
Gold.
Oh, gold, yes. In one word, it was about gold. Can you tell me more?
So, Uncle Scrooge had a gold fever, right?
Yes.
And this other guy had a gold fever, too.
And what were they looking for?
They were looking for gold.
And where did they find it?
In a gold pyramid?
That's right, in the gold pyramid. Hi, Milo. You're on this show too, are ya?
So I guess I forgot...
Only for a little.
So I guess I forgot Milo, our other special guest.
What was your favorite part in this episode, Peter?
When they were gonna fall into the really hot gold, melted gold, and it was burning hot, and platforms were sinking into lava, and they had run, and it was actually a part of the title song.
In the theme song, yeah, that's right.
In the theme song.
And Milo, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was when they're the part in the theme song.
The part in the theme song too, the part that you recognized.
Yeah, and what's your favorite part, Curtis?
Wow, my favorite part I think was when the whole temple sinks into the ground because of the gold lava at the very bottom. Yeah, just like that. It was pretty cool.
That's all for today. See you next afternoon.
So we have a little bit of fan mail this week. Mike Russo over on Facebook mentioned after we had posted the previous episode, mm-hmm. He said, I didn't think much of this episode. He's referring to Cold Duck when I was younger, but I've really come around to it as an adult. The last act, the final chase sequence you guys discuss, is one of my all-time favorite DuckTales moments. The music is simply incredible, and I wish a raw version of it existed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that it did too. I would love to hear a DuckTales soundtrack. Now, there is a label, I can't remember if it's Interscope or something like that, just released the Treasure of the Lost Ark soundtrack. Treasure of the Lost Ark. Treasure of the Lost Lamp soundtrack and the movie soundtrack.
Yep.
But it doesn't have any of the music from the TV show on it, which is unfortunate. I read somewhere that the reason why a TV show soundtrack doesn't exist, and is maybe true for any Disney Afternoon ones, is that the rights to an actual physical soundtrack album were never discussed in the contracts when they originally drafted the contracts.
Mm.
So in order to actually get that approved, you'd have to go through, you know, a lot of paperwork and a lot of lawyers and all that kind of stuff.
Because, at the time, how could they have ever thought that
nope.
You know, I how many years it is later? 30 years later two grown men would be sitting up at 11:30 at night talking about the music from these shows. And yet recording it and putting it on the internet for other adults to listen to and enjoy. I don't think that they ever conceived that it would have that intense of a following.
Not at all.
And how could you ever have known that? Nowadays we know that sort of thing happens with popular culture, but back in 1987 we were like right at the beginning of all of this, right? So So why would they just didn't think that way back then. They do now, and all that stuff is in every contract. And
oh, yes.
They cover their bases for everything just in case something becomes the most amazing thing ever and they want to monetize it.
There's also, they often also will put in a line that says something like, and any future technologies or something like mm-hmm. that, so that they cover their bases for yeah. anything that comes up in the future, because you never know what's going to be invented next.
Yeah, because that's really one of the reasons why you don't see a lot of stuff on DVD is because those rights were never discussed back in the 60s or 70s or 80s.
Yeah, and, I remember Batman, yep. the 66 Batman series yep. was never on DVD, but the movie was, because the movie in its contract allowed reproductions of the movie to be shown on airplanes, which can be strewn to be like a home video release or like a some yeah. sort of copy of it like that. But then there was nothing in the contracts for the TV shows about that, and so that's why it took years and years of legal work in order to get that show on DVD, which it was just recently.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I have to imagine that something like that is what is preventing season 3 of Darkwing Duck from coming out
on DVD. No, I don't think. I think Disney think just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Disney doesn't care about their classic properties.
But the interesting part of that is that there's a UK, I think, version of Darkwing Duck on DVD that's a complete series box set, and it has every single episode.
So I would be interested to know if that's a bootleg or if it's actually a licensed deal, because that very well could be a bootleg. But I also think that the UK branch of Disney works completely independently of the United States Disney. I know that they, because Disney UK has released like the entire Spider-Man 1994 series on DVD, as well as like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and such, and that's nowhere to be seen in the States. But Disney here doesn't care, and you can see in these bare bones DVD sets that they've released, it's really poor, just broadcast like VHS duplicates.
Yeah, there's no
there's standard no def. Especially I'm watching these DuckTales ones now, and they are incredibly marred by DVNR, digital video noise reduction, like which when you apply that, because they try to clean up some of the dust and some of the lines and whatever, and when you do that with animation, it often, that program, the computer program that you put these digital files through, thinks that the lines are actually hairs on the film, and it erases them. So all through these, I mean, you might not notice it if you're not trained to see it, but for me, it just stands out like a sore thumb. They're just, it's really, really poor quality releases. And we don't even have all of DuckTales on DVD. We don't have all of Chip and Dale on DVD. They finally put out the third volume of Tailspin. That's the first show, the first Disney afternoon show to be completely released on DVD. The only one so far.
Okay. So, yeah, so I guess you're right. They probably just don't care. But maybe they're starting to care now because they're getting back into the Disney afternoon business. So
I would say that we would probably at least see an episode or a volume 3 of DuckTales if this show does incredibly well for them.
Yeah.
But they're all up on iTunes. You can watch them all on iTunes. They're just not available on DVD.
I think it's about time for us to start wrapping up, but before we do, we've got to give our lucky dime ratings on this episode. So Curtis, what do you rate this episode?
You know, I'm going to rate this an actual 5 dimes, a whole 50 cents, because it is just a fantastic episode from start to finish. It had me, even though I've seen it a bunch of times, on the edge of my seat. Peter was on the edge of his seat when we were watching it today as well. And just overall, if I'm going to rate the whole 5 parts, I'm going to give the whole, like, as a 2-hour TV movie, I'm going to give it 5 stars as well. From start to finish, it's just great.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to echo that as well. I think that this is about as strong a finish as you can get. Last week's episode, Cold Duck, was a bit of the odd man out. It was kind of a weird episode in the midst of this story. I don't really feel like it follows the through line very much. It's kind of this weird, meander off in a different direction. All of a sudden we're in Antarctica and we're dealing with penguins and being right. imprisoned and stuff. It doesn't really feel like it's a part of this, this storyline, but overall, I do think that the full 50 cents is absolutely accurate, because it's just a great adventure from start to finish. It's all fun. There's great stuff in every episode to enjoy, and even if you don't like the fourth episode particularly, which I mean, I think we gave it a decent rating.
It wasn't terrible. It has a lot going for it, especially the walrus chase and stuff.
But, yeah, absolutely.
And in the context of the entire five parts,
yeah,
it's fine. It's just a small part.
Yeah, exactly. Because what I was gonna say is that no matter how much you might not like one scene, it's okay, because in a minute we're gonna get something else.
Yeah,
and you're gonna love that. So, there's definitely an aspect of the show not slowing down long enough for you to really think about it too much, because there's always something fun coming around the corner, and hopefully it can keep that up, and I'm excited to see if the new DuckTales series manages to keep it up as well. So on that note, here's the description for The Great Dime Chase, which is going to be our first proper episode of the new DuckTales series for the ongoing episodes. And the description follows: Louie accidentally spends Scrooge's number one dime and turns to mad inventor Gyro Gearloose for help to get it back, while Dewey and Webby become entangled in a conspiracy. So that's very mysterious.
Yes.
A conspiracy. So I think it's going to be a very Louie-centric episode. Louie is definitely front and center in the Gyro clip that we got to see. You can tell that he's very intrigued by one of Gyro's inventions and its potential. So I'm really excited. I'm super psyched. We're going to be able to watch this tomorrow, and for you guys listening, that'll actually be today. If you're listening when this episode is released, so it's out there now, and you guys can go enjoy the first two episodes of the proper airing of the new DuckTales series, and we will have our first episode sometime next week, probably midweek, and I think we're gonna go one episode a week, so these episodes of DuckTales are gonna quickly outpace us, I think, but that's okay, because we'll give you the content over the long haul.
And if you're listening to this in the future, that doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter at all, exactly, which is the point of doing these podcasts, is that the content is always fresh, because there's always somebody new to DuckTales or whatever show we're talking about. So awesome. Well, it is late. So thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. We appreciate everybody who's come online as we've been running through this stuff. We're a new podcast, so we know we got a lot of new listeners. With that in mind, we talked last week about or earlier this week about ratings and reviews over on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you're listening to this.
Yeah, and include your best DuckTales-related pun in there somewhere. Yeah. So yeah, I can read it on the air.
Exactly. And do us a favor. The next episode, the Great Dime Chase, when it comes out, share it around, because there's a lot of people that are really excited about the new DuckTales series, and we want them to think of us first when they're thinking about a podcast to listen to. So those of you who are early adopters, know that you're our favorite and you'll always be our favorite. But we could use your help spreading the word about the podcast. So if you enjoy it, if you like us, then definitely go on Facebook, Twitter, whatever social media is your social media of choice, and let people know about the podcast. We would appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we will see you next time on Cartoon Afternoon.
Yeah, see you guys next time. Don't forget you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at ToonAfternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are a part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.